Welcome to the meeting. Hey, Dirk, would you mind giving the prayer?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. Our Father who art in heaven, we're thankful for this opportunity to meet and to discuss the matters of Deer Springs Ranch. We pray that thou will help us to make good decisions and have good cooperation and efforts and suggestions from the members that we might be able to move forward in an effective manner, and ask that thou will help the health of our members to be increased, especially Brent's surgery, to be able to restore his health and strength to his efforts in his life and on the ranch. And these things we say in the name of thy son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Dirk. Okay, we'll go to roll call. I'm Brent Fulmer, Lot 117.
Larry Clarkson, Lot 76.
Dirk Clayson, 116.
Kate Hoff, 83.
Mike McNichols, 270.
Barry Clarkson, 173.
Zane Hutton,
176.
Whoops. Talked on top of each other. Vance, 156.
Zane, 276.
Jeff and Tina, 121.
Gary Clark, 144.
Dan Wirt, 28.
Anybody else?
Steve and Lori, I think it's 221, but I'm not sure.
Joan Smith, 269.
All right. I guess we'll just see when anybody, if anybody else pops up. All right, Barry, you want to the minutes? I did review them. Briefly,
so
on a break.
So I sent the meeting minutes just after the meeting. Got some updates and some corrections from Mike McNichols, and then a confirmation from Derek. But I resent them again this morning. I just didn't know if anybody had any questions or suggested changes on the meeting minutes for February.
I don't.
Okay, with that, then I move that we accept the meeting minutes as drafted for February of 2025.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, I will sign them and send them to Danielle to post on the website, so we'll get that taken care of.
Barry, did we get January's voted on and seconded and posted?
I've reviewed part of the recording. It's just with in between things. It's taken me a while since I wasn't involved in most of the meeting. It's taken me a while to listen to the recording and recreate the meeting minutes. I'm still working on that. I will get it done, and we'll have them presented and for vote as soon as I get that taken care of.
Okay. We had talked about doing January and February at this meeting, and I thought somewhere I had missed it in an email, but I just wanted to make sure it wasn't that I had missed it. It just hadn't been put out yet.
No, I didn't do my job yet, so thanks for calling me out in front of everybody.
Yeah, slacker. At least you showed up to take your whipping. Ben's still hiding.
Oh, all right. Yeah, nope. I will get those taken care of, and and present it. It just takes when I can do it during the meeting, it's a lot easier and faster, and I know what's going on. Listening to the recording is a little bit challenging to figure out and get it taken care of. So, but that will happen.
Yeah, understand.
Hey, Barry. This is Danielle.
Yes.
Was that before I resubscribed to Otter? Would it help if I go back and make that transcript for you?
Yeah, if you can, anything you can do to convert it from a scratchy, partially inaudible version. Now, although this one isn't bad because the meeting was Zoom, but if you've got a way to convert the audio to a transcript, that'd save me a bunch of time.
Yeah, I will get that done later today.
Perfect. Just email it to me when you're done.
Sounds good.
That's it for me.
Okay, Mike, you're up on the Treasury report and report on cabins if you want.
Sounds good. For the folks on the call that are new, the way the finances work at the ranch is we collect all of the dues at the beginning of the year, basically January, February, March. And put that money in the bank, and then over the course of the year, as we're doing things at the ranch, that money gets spent. So some of you might be surprised to learn that we currently have $169,000 plus in our checking account. But again, that's normal. We did have a surplus from last year's budget of a little over $30,000. And so we moved $30,000 out of the checking account and put it into our savings account. So we currently have $36,181 in the savings account. Now, part of the reason we had a surplus last year is because the way our accounting works is we incur and pay for expenses when we get the invoice and pay it. So there were some expenses that we incurred last year that actually didn't get paid last year. So, and they should have. So the part of the reason why I moved that money into the savings account is so we have that money available for some of the budget items this year that we're likely to go over on. So we know that in advance. So the nice thing is we do have a nice buffer there in the savings account to handle any overages and some of the critical accounts, for example, roads. And there will be a surplus even beyond what we anticipate having to spend this year. So that's nice. We also have a little over $74,000 in CDs that we have set aside. This is money that we're just literally putting into savings in anticipation of needing it to be used for future projects. And in addition to that, we have a little over $8,000 in a separate CD that is designated to be used for our annual meeting. In September, we have an annual meeting where everybody who can gets together at the ranch. We have an auction. We sell a bunch of stuff, and the money that's made gets set aside. Instead of being put into the general budget, it gets set aside so it can be used separately for following annual meetings and improvements for the annual meetings. So those are the numbers. Barry, I did send the numbers to you earlier today. Did you receive that?
Yes, I have those already plugged into the meeting minutes, so perfect. Okay. I appreciate that.
Yep, fantastic. Does anybody have any questions? And the other thing that's related is the P&L. Danielle sent out the profit and loss statement with the invitation for the meeting today. And, again, it's very early in the year, so there's not a whole lot to talk about or report. But if anybody does have any questions about the P&L, now would be the time. Any questions? Going, going, gone. Okay. Moving on, I'm one of the responsibilities I have on the board is I'm overseeing the cabins, and I'm going to be working with Cody and Brent over the coming month to de-winterize the cabins and get them ready for occupancy in April. So that's all very normal. And as Brent will tell you, that it doesn't matter how good of a job we do in winterizing the cabins at the end of the year, whenever we get them ready to open up in the spring, we always find surprises. So if we do find things that are broken or not working properly, we'll obviously fix those so the cabins will be ready for occupancy at the beginning of the season. Again, for the new folks, typically we open the lower cabins in April, and those are the six cabins that are down in the headquarters area. And then the four upper cabins, which are at the top end of the ranch, higher elevation, they typically get opened about a month later. So that's it on the normal stuff. And then the cabin committee is still going to continue to try to do some projects this year. The cabin committee is simply a group of DSR owner volunteers who have volunteered their time and efforts to try to complete projects to improve the cabins at the ranch. Last year, we did a lot of work on all 10 of the cabins. This year, we're hoping to do some additional work, and I'm going to be sending some information out to everybody, but essentially what we're proposing for this year is to plan some volunteer projects at the ranch in conjunction with our board meetings. So the regular DSROA board meeting is the second Saturday of every month. And so the proposal is that we basically take that board meeting day and then the following day, Saturday and Sunday, plan some projects that folks who are at the ranch to participate in the board meeting and are able to help out will be able to help out each month, basically from April through October. So you'll be getting more information about that in the future. In addition to just looking for folks who are willing to come out and help with the projects, we're also interested in folks being willing to volunteer to lead some of those projects. The first project, big project that I'm recommending for the April board meeting and the following day is to install new playground equipment. Cade, you may want to talk a little bit more about that. But we have some new playground equipment that Cade was able to secure for the ranch, and it's currently just sitting in pieces in the headquarters area. So we're going to need a project to have a whole bunch of volunteers show up to bolt it all together, and also at the same time we want to do some cleanup and improving of the existing playground equipment that's been there for many, many years. So that's it for me. Any questions about any of that?
All right. Well, thanks, Mike. I don't see Cody
on. A lot about the playground equipment is it is going to be a big, giant jigsaw puzzle. So hopefully people that like to do puzzles are going to be there to help us. And I am still working on getting the bolts, but we'll get those by April.
So, Kate, let me ask you a question. Did St. George replace all of the equipment that's similar to that throughout the entire city in the various parks?
I know that they did two different parks, and this one was, I think the contractor actually ended up selling it on their own as part of the deal or whatever, but we were able to get one of the ones, but I don't think they did all of their parks, but I do know that they did at least two. So there may be opportunities in the future if they do more. I don't know.
Well, no, the reason I'm asking the question is could we go to another park that had a similar setup take a picture of how it was assembled and have a better idea so we're not starting from scratch.
No, I do have pictures and video of how it was set up, so we're good there. But
Okay. All right. Never mind.
They don't have the same ones at each park either, but I do have pictures and video, so we'll at least be able to use that to try and kind of match up.
Okay, and you still haven't remembered where the bolts in that are?
I have not, no. They're in that very safe spot.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thanks.
But, hey, Cade, what's the view like from underneath that bus? Brent just put under the bus.
I know the tire tracks are a little bit embedded in my skin a little bit, I think.
Well, if you come across them, let us know.
This is Gary Clark in lot 144. As a suggestion, if you can get the manufacturer's name of the play equipment, and I guarantee you they'll be able to send you the installation instructions on it, or you'd be able to get it online.
I've tried to find them online. I haven't actually contacted them by phone number yet, but it's old enough that they're not currently online, but I'll try and call them and see if we can get the instructions. We also tried to get them from the city because we thought the city might have them on file, but they didn't have those available either. So we'll try. I'm not super hopeful, but I'll try before April to see if we can get the plans for it. But we at least have the pictures at this point.
Excellent. Good luck.
All right. I don't see Cody on. I will give a brief report. Of course, I've been off the ranch for a couple of weeks, but I am. I did talk to Cody, and he says he's got most of the plumbing work done in the garden cabin. We'll probably go down and tomorrow and take a look at that. And then, and one question I did have for you, Mike, is we're talking about moving the toilets roughly 12 inches away from the shower. And if we do that, then we're going to have to come up with, we talked about pedestal sinks rather than some kind of vanity. Do we have the money to buy a couple of pedestal sinks if we need to?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. All right. Dirk? You're up on water.
Okay. In terms of water, I don't really have any updates. Well, I'll leave my general updates for our things in item 6 of the agenda. But on the on-site certified water assistant, we would recommend, and I probably need to ask for somebody to make this in a form of a motion if we're ready to move forward with it. But we've discussed having Bart Batista as our certified operator for a fee of $100 a month or $1,200 annually, and to have Tina Collins be our certified water assistant for collecting the samples in the upper cabin and lower cabin systems and getting them into the Kanab Health Department monthly for $150 per month. And sometimes we'll have some extra work that may be done if, for example, we had a failed system or something that needs to be done with the system, and we would just discuss pay requirements for those things depending on needs as they come up. But that should help us move forward and take care of things and be within the $250 that we historically have had for those expenses.
Well, do you want to make a motion to make it official?
I will make a motion to make it official.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Ben says oh. Aye.
Okay, anything else, Dirk?
Nope.
All right. Okay, a brief report on each area of responsibility. Cade?
Mine's going to be pretty brief. I haven't been up to the ranch for a month or two, so Larry and I do have some plans. We need to get on the schedule as to when they're actually going to be executed in the various areas that we brought up in the past. Brent and Larry, maybe you can tell me. Sounds like the latest snows, the roads have been fairly decent, but still got to keep people off of the muddy spots if we can. But I don't know if you guys have an update on how the roads are doing and where we're currently at this point.
So the not this storm of this week, but the previous big storm, I had kind of tuned up Meadow Canyon from beginning of headquarters all the way up through to Broad Hollow at the end of Collins, because I was currently working on the Broad Hollow Road going toward Juniper Hills. And so during that bigger last storm, I went out and plowed for Brent and Castles at their request, but also cleared the road I was working on in Broad Hollow and all of the lower down to headquarters and around, just so that that moisture doesn't seep into the ground and take weeks and weeks to dissipate. So that's the big reason why, with the county plowing off the snow and me plowing off that snow, those roads have held up very, very well. This little storm that came in the past couple of days, the county did plow. There really wasn't enough snow to justify plowing on up through. I cleared basically the hill leading down into the gravel pit simply because I could not climb the hill with my big truck and haul my dozer out of there. But other than that, like you said, the roads are in pretty decent shape. I have not driven in Slide Canyon at all, but I've had three different members contact me saying that they were rutted up severely by somebody. None of them wanted to fess up to it being them, and they didn't want to point the finger at somebody else. But we really, really need to get people. We need to get Cade a salt shooting shotgun or something to let him be the road sheriff and get after those that do. They don't realize that they do significant damage when they drive when they should not drive. Didn't mean to steal your thunder, Cade, but the roads are actually in pretty decent shape, and I think we'll make another big stride this year in improving more and more.
Thanks, Larry. That's probably a better update than I could give, so I'm good.
All right. Okay, Larry, you're up again. Anything on the gravel pit? And the question is, have you finished your work down around the headquarters, your big drain out there
I did, believe it or not. I got it finished. It's quite a massive project. I've got videotape and pictures that I'll have to share. While I was there and before I moved out, I did go ahead and cut down the playground area that was the old garden plot, leveled it out, relatively level with the sand volleyball courts. So it's closer to being prepared for the playground. Like I said, I did quite a bit of shaping of the lane in and out of headquarters, but I need to top it with some better gravel and rock, which we will do here in the coming month. I also did quite a cleanup project behind the ranch house. I used a significant portion of all of the big cedar trees that I'd put back there for firewood. I went ahead and used as retention wall on the downhill side of the erosion. Basically, if anybody's around headquarters, they should walk back there and look at it. But the fence line that used to be suspended in midair over about a 25-foot deep chasm is now level. And I will rebuild that fence when it's not muddy, that my boots don't become 50-pound, 6-inch elevator shoes. I don't know what else to report. I had some other thing that I wanted to bring up, but I can't think of it now. I should have made a note.
Well, how's your gravel processing? Are those machines working?
They are both working. I still need to swap engines on the gravel screen so that I can actually produce a clean product for those that want just straight clean rock and not the road-based type stuff. I was in a panic because the impactor crusher would not fire up like it should here. Actually, about a month ago, and I was afraid that some stupid varmint squirrel had gone through and chewed wires. But finally, about 2 weeks ago, I had somebody out there helping me, and we found a contactor relay that was malfunctioning. And so, I'm pretty excited to be able to start kicking out some better road base and supplying it to different areas of the ranch and then making it available for different lot owners that need road base and gravel around their cabins.
Okay, sweet. Is that it?
That is it.
All right. Mike, anything else?
No, that's everything I wanted to say, unless somebody has any questions.
Okay, I gave him 5 seconds. Nobody did. Barry, did you want to maybe ask Danielle about the waiver stuff?
Yes, just looking, Danielle, if you can, just looking for an update. I saw an email went out last week for the members again to remind them of or catch some of the members that didn't return their waivers with the annual assessment. Just looking for an update on where we're at as far as what waivers have been received electronically or hard copy, and if you need any help with processing any of that stuff.
So I did send out an email by itself to hopefully catch people who didn't see it buried in the other meeting information. I did fix some of the fields within the waiver page, so hopefully I just made everything not required so people can fill out as needed. There's still a couple mistakes on people getting confused on whether, you know, to fill out the trust side or the other side, which I'm hoping isn't a big deal as long as there's, you know, their name and signature, all that pertinent information. I do not have an updated number as to how many I've received hard copies and electronically for. I have gotten quite a few, maybe 10 more since that email went out. I just finished the last couple of days scanning in all the hard copies. So I'll be moving those into our Google Drive, and then I just need to move over the electronic ones. I will probably finish that by tomorrow, and then sometime this coming week, I will send out an email to the specific members that are missing that will have daily reminders. And I think that's it.
So on that, Danielle, just for an overview, obviously the signatures of the owners is the most important part. If we have signatures, that's 90% of the battle. If they listed their property as far as a trust or directly owned, then we can still work with that. It's great if they fill it out correctly. But what would be helpful to me is if there's a way, once you've scanned, bottom line is if there's a way that I can look through them, then I could very quickly tell you, okay, this is something we need to address, or this is good enough. So is there a way that once you scan them, is there a way that you could batch email them to me or Dropbox them to me in some way that I could just flip through quickly and verify just how they were filled out to make sure that we don't have a problem?
Once I've moved them into the Google Drive, I'll just send you a link as a viewer, and you can view them all.
Perfect. If you can do that, send them over, then I can tell you. I mean, again, the signature's the main part. And but we do want to have them. We want to have them as correct as possible. And I can look through, and then I can identify those that if there is an issue, I can identify what they are. And then when you send out the reminders for those that haven't signed, then we can include some that we say, okay, we need this updated. Or honestly, if I can look at them, I can help you make sure that they're correct or fix them however we need to make them legally effective. Okay.
Yep, sounds good.
Perfect. All right.
Okay, is that it, Barry?
That's all I have at this point.
Okay. Dirk, did you have anything else?
The only thing I would say is we're trying to have the Half Moon Well functional by the end of this month. So that we have that ready for cattle.
Oh, and one question. Is there an update on the NRCS stuff, or is the...
Absolutely no change. I've checked in with NRCS a couple of times. They seem to be pretty backlogged in things, so I'm a little nervous about... you know, them giving us much of a window for planning. But okay. I don't know what more to do about it.
Okay. I just thought I'd ask. Appreciate it. Did Ben get on?
Yeah, he's on.
Ben, do you have anything? Update on the signs or signage?
Yes. Did anybody get, I've researched the signs and made out a mock draft that I sent just a little bit ago. If anybody has that to look at it and any feedback to see if that's even going in the direction that anybody thought. And then I'll, you know, finalize the look of that. Looks like they're going to cost about $85 per sign if we get six signs, you know, for a you know, good quality aluminum that will stand up to the weather and not fade. Did anybody get a chance to look at that picture?
When was that sent? Because I'm not sure I saw that.
Just barely. Well, we were bent on this morning.
Yeah, I can see it.
I'll certainly have a look at it and get back to you later today. But yeah, if we can approve the format and everything and get them ordered, I want to get those up as soon as possible.
Okay. Well, and that's where, as soon as the weather, I mean, I'll mount these, you know, on a solid post and stuff. That's just to kind of mock up with background, playing with the fonts and the colors a little bit so it's readable, but it doesn't stand out or look too formal.
I like the brown one best, my input.
Okay. So
I'll look at it and get back to you.
That's good. So I'll get those, and again, depending on weather or muddy roads of when is a good time to spend a day to go up and get them posted. Did we all agree on the six locations that Larry had proposed in the feedback area in the previous email as far as the locations?
I don't know if I commented or responded, but yes, I agree with those locations.
Okay. I just want to make sure there have been discussions.
Yeah, same with Cade. Yeah, I agree with those that Larry listed.
Great. One other just unrelated question, just for my knowledge, and I had gone on the DeerSpringsRanch.org to look up a map, but who is doing the update on it?
I've got the access to the website, so if you need updates, let me know.
Okay, well, some of the things, like, I just didn't notice that the next meeting was posted as October last year or something. So I didn't know if we were regularly doing that or if been many of the members.
We should be. I forgot that one. I'll make sure that gets updated. Thanks.
Also, the link on there for the Zoom meetings to log in is outdated. That's why I couldn't get on the meeting, as I tried to use that link, and it links you into the last meeting that's over with, and and says that the meeting's already, or there's another meeting in progress. So just update that.
Okay, I'll try and do that for the next meeting. I didn't realize that we were putting the Zoom link there, but I'll put the new date, and then when we get the new Zoom meeting, I'll put the link there. Thanks.
Hey, Ben, I just looked at the email that you sent out, and there's at least one word on there that's misspelled, so I'll reply back to that email.
Okay, well, and that's, again, I was kind of dragging and dropping. I didn't really proofread it. I was kind of to see, is that inline with different colors, so it kind of looks, you know, instead of just a sterile black letter sign, or do we want to have it just a little more Forest Service-y looking, BLM looking, or, you know, that's why I dropped that one with that kind of brown background. So, you know, we can tweak it as much, but just at a glance, I like to be able to look at something and say, yeah, now I can read that, and we'll make sure that everything is spelled. And but I think that was close to what we, you know, agreed on in that wording as far as the waiver. And then I did generate, you know, just for that QR code in the corner, if anybody does take a picture of that or whatever, it's going to, you know, take them to the website, even though they wouldn't have service up there typically.
That was going to be my question, is if that QR code symbol, what exactly did it do? Did it download a waiver? Did it send them somewhere? What does that do?
It just goes to deerspringtranch.org.
Okay.
And so, again, we could do that where it just goes to a PDF of a waiver or something, or, you know, a pop-up, you know, roadmap, if that's helpful. But part of it, I was just using that as an example to loop straight to the website, then we can update it there.
Mike, you don't want people singing the waiver?
Singing the waiver? The other comment I would make, Ben, is the blue lettering is hard to read. The yellow lettering, I think, would fade too fast. I think, you know, the red, that's kind of the warning type, is fine, and the rest of it should probably be all black.
Okay.
One other comment, Ben, is I would make the notice bigger. A little more attention grabbing.
I agree.
Now, now that I look where it's looped through the email, Mike, then yeah, that yellow lettering was kind of meant to be more of a foresty green, but it has manipulated it going through. Well, you can kind of see on that gray wood grain version is what they were, but part of this is just manipulated with everybody's monitors and stuff. So,
so the color on both signs is supposed to be the same?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, again, I just kind of dropped it. But as far as just kind of, that would be a 36-inch wide, 24-inch tall aluminum sign, kind of with the rounded quarters where we can mount it on, you know, wood posts, railroad ties with a brace at the top and bottom where they just, you know, not be floppy as that big. And even, you know, that blue, typically the kind of web or email address, that's what I was thinking, that, you know, kind of blue, at least people recognize.
I wasn't paying attention if you mentioned the dimensions. What size is this sign planned to be?
3 feet wide, 2 feet tall.
Okay.
Is that too big or too small, anyone?
I think that's the right size, perfect size.
Okay.
Anything else, Ben?
Nope. I think that's the only question.
Okay. I think I would run with that. Just make sure that the colors are where they're very, very, very readable, and double check the spelling. But I don't know that we need to have a vote or that we need to wait on anything else to get them produced and ready to be installed when the weather permits.
I agree, Barry. I think we just ought to move ahead.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Let's see. We're now to open forum, 2 to 3 minutes each.
Do we have many other members on the call?
Yep, there's at least 10 other members on the call. If you have anything, now's your chance to speak up.
Zane's here from 276. I just had one comment about the service projects associated with the board meetings. I think that's a great idea because for me personally, it's a motivator to attend both. I've had an intention to volunteer and build stuff down there for community betterment, but haven't found the opportunity and be to more board meetings. So I like the idea of doing them both together because that'll make it easier for me.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. One thing that I forgot to mention, and this kind of ties into what Mike's trying to do with cabin or little improvement volunteer projects, we've battled back and forth over years of can ranch equipment be used by anybody, by somebody that's special? Do you have to, you know, be certain height or a certain weight or a certain eye color or just be real cool like Brent or whoever? It's wrong for the ranch to have the type of money we have invested in equipment to set and rot in the field, and all we do is replace bad tires that rot away, replace batteries that don't get started and charged enough to keep them maintained. And so I've had 4 different members contact me saying, hey, I would be willing to put in time, but I don't know what I'm doing. Can somebody show me or teach me what to do or how to do it? And then I would volunteer certain days on certain roads, which I completely agree with. And I think most of the board has voiced the same opinion. And so I would like to organize a kind of a training day, and maybe it's the same thing. In fact, I had talked to a couple of these people saying, We anticipated this board meeting being at the ranch, but because of the weather, it didn't happen. And I was planning to, after the board meeting finished this afternoon, to spend an hour or two showing people kind of what to do and what not to do, and then see if we can't get at least a few miles out of our old grader instead of just keeping it as an ornament in the entrance of the ranch. So I just want to put that out there to the people that are on the meeting today and those that may listen to it in the future. If you're interested in helping improve some of the areas and learning how, and the board is not going to be willing to just cut somebody loose on a piece of equipment unless you want to write out a check for a couple $100,000 to cover the replacement of a new grader. Anyway, that's the plan. That's the way I'm moving forward. I'll work more with Brent and others on whether we do that with the dump truck, the backhoe, whatever. But as far as the grader, that particular piece of equipment, you either are kind of born with an understanding of it or you have to train on it, and the only way to train on it is to get on it. And so that's the direction we're kind of moving, and hopefully that will also help with some of Cade's other areas when there's, you know, just minimal stuff that needs to be done, and we can put our equipment to better use, put our people that have the willingness and time to volunteer, that'll give them another opportunity to spend a little time. Any other comments along those
lines? Larry, this is Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Who's liable for damage to equipment? Because it seems obvious to me that novice operators are going to cause more damage than experienced operators?
It really depends on that. There is some truth to that, Dan, but there's also, I see equipment damaged all the time by somebody who's been on the equipment for 40 years and thinks they know what they're doing, and they're out of control even after 40 years. And so I have hesitated to kind of do this or be involved simply because you or I, nobody can control anybody. We can show them what to do and tell them what to do, and then if they choose to do something different or break it or damage it, then, yeah, I think that's got to be understood that if they do something wrong, they're liable. If it's just a piece of old equipment that breaks, there's no telling what or how or when something's going to happen. I mean, just this last week, I did $3,000 worth of damage to my mini excavator, and it started with another operator, was my cousin last year, that I let him use it, and he did some minimal damage that I knew would end the life of the track, but I didn't know when it was going to happen, and it happened this last week. So you never know when is a catastrophic failure going to occur.
Yeah, well, I think that still begs the question, who is going to be who's going to be liable, and what should the written rules be about damage to ranch equipment?
Well, that is definitely something we'll need to work into a policy, so to speak, make that determination.
This is Barry. I think we need to evaluate the possibility of interested members and their skill level, just to see if this is something that's going to work. I think it makes sense to, if there are members with skills. I mean, if you put me on the grader, there's going to be a problem. But if there's a possibility of exploring whether there are members that can be trained to be proficient enough to do the work we need. But keep in mind, and I'm not sure if Dan's referring to damage to the equipment or damage to the road. As far as volunteer work, typically, if there's something that occurs that's not at the level of gross negligence, then the ranch would still be responsible because it's a volunteer. They would basically say, we know what we're getting, and that then it comes back to Larry's training and our monitoring. I don't think we're saying that we need to or want to give the keys to multiple members to just, you know, knock yourself out whenever you feel like it. I think it's with planned projects and some oversight, it would be helpful to have others trained on some of the equipment moving forward, just like we're training people that are involved in operating the water systems in case something happens, then we have the resources necessary. But I do think we do need to think a little bit, once we identify who those volunteer members are and their skill level, then we certainly need to evaluate the liability situation to make sure that it's a wise choice. But I would not want to discourage members that can or may have the aptitude to operate the grader, for example. If we can have the grader operating, running roads one day a month rather than one day every 6 months, at no cost to the ranch, then I personally am willing to take a little bit of risk to make sure that. Now, we're just talking about this. It just came up today, so I think we have to do some further discussion and explanation. But I do think it's a good idea to monitor or to get to find out who's interested and who may have the aptitude to do this stuff. But we're a long ways away from handing them the keys, so to speak.
This is Stephen Lori. We've actually had this conversation ourselves when we were out looking at properties there, that Steve's sitting right here, that we would love to be able to help, but neither of us. Equipment, and I would probably
in and make sure there's no.
Laurie, I don't know if it's just my speakers, if everybody else can hear, but your voice is fading out really, really bad.
Why don't you just talk?
This is Steve. I would love to volunteer, and I would love to learn how to run some of the equipment. I grew up around smaller equipment, and my nickname is Mr. Safety, so to me, safety is above everything else, and I try to be very conscientious about equipment, stuff like that. So I would be willing to learn and volunteer. So just so you know that there is interest out there. So
perfect. Thank you.
What I'm proposing, or what I'm thinking of doing, would be to have a training session, so to speak, and identify sections of roads, obviously, that are fairly straight, fairly flat, not off a cliff type stuff, to let people begin to learn. And as I do, even with people that work with me in my business, when I see somebody on a machine that is doing damage to the machine or to the ground, I just don't have time to go back and fix all their screw ups. And so it's just a simple matter of, hey, currently I have somebody helping me that all he can do is drive it from point A to point B and do not touch the ground, do not touch a tree, do not touch anything else. And even then, I wonder if half the time he's asleep or awake or got both eyes open. Or anyway, I think it's something we need to work toward. And Dan, I appreciate your conscientiousness of keeping track of who's liable or who's responsible for errors or liability or mistakes, so if we can do it and benefit the ranch, let's move towards that, and get some other good people doing good things.
Well, I think, you know, our policy at our house with our own equipment is that if Steve shows them how to use it, by keeping up, then he's going to be standing there. He just has to inform that they aren't there. He just can't do it. You know, sorry, we'll find you. And we probably won't be back in April, but we're planning on coming back. And if you set.
What I think you said is you're not going to be back in Utah in April, but you would be interested in participating in a training session if scheduled after that. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Well, we appreciate your willingness, and I think we need to explore this a little bit further and see what we can do. I agree with trying it out and see what we can find as far as the talents of members, and certainly people that have some experience on equipment, hopefully may be able to help benefit the ranch and help us with our roads. So, but what we do need to be careful, and we also, I agree with Dan, we need to evaluate a kind of a written waiver, a written policy for those individuals that are interested, which I can certainly help take care of. So let's, Larry, I think schedule what you can as far as a training session, see what kind of interest you get and who's involved, and then we can work out the nuts and bolts of the program before we move forward.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Larry.
Larry, this is Dan. I've got one more question. Your notice of training sessions will be made how and when?
If we decide to move forward with this like we're talking, I would anticipate when the next notice goes out for the next board meeting, a simple note to be attached to say we're planning to spend a few hours after the meeting on equipment or something like that. What I had planned to do was those people who have reached out to me, I would just simply say, hey, when do you have time? I kind of need to work it into what I've currently got going on somewhere. I'm really not looking for another place to spend time, and so I am actually kind of hesitant to jump into something that I don't want to create a monster that I have to beat with a stick.
Well, if you're going to hold training sessions, then basically the membership should be informed of when and where.
Yeah. I would almost see this, the only way I think I could do it effectively is it's going to have to be, you know, almost a one-on-one. A lot could be done simply like almost in a classroom setting with a chalkboard and draw some stick figure pictures to see if people's minds can grasp the how-to, you know, how-to this, how-to that. And then it's a matter of being in a machine a little bit and becoming familiar with it. And you can't really do that with 10 or 12 people at a time.
Well, you know, 10, I understand what you're saying. You know, you can't offer personal training to 10 people in one session, but that doesn't mean that, that the other 8, can't be observers.
Sure, sure.
So, so if we're going to do this, there ought to be written policies, and the opportunity should be available to anyone who is either experienced or trainable.
Well, and Dan, I think we might have to try this as a kind of a pilot as well. You know, maybe we start with 4 or 5, do the quick training and get a couple people trained up, see how it goes. And then we don't necessarily want to open up the floodgates like Larry's talking about. But I think the board still needs to kind of hash it out a little bit more. And like you say, you're bringing up some good points about liability, et cetera. So we can definitely take those into consideration and open it up to a few members. But, I think we also need to be fair, right? In the past, there's kind of been some people can use it, some people haven't used it, nobody can use it. We're trying to figure out that balance, right, of how can we make sure that our equipment's not going to waste, but we're also not putting ourselves at risk and we're not damaging equipment, right? We've got to balance both of those out.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. This needs to be really hashed out. But in terms of a pilot program, the membership should be informed that there's going to be a pilot program. Are you interested or not?
Yeah, I don't know if this is a good time. I don't know if this is a good time for me to interject or not.
Yep, go ahead.
I was just kind of brainstorming, just some thoughts. I know Larry wants to start this kind of slowly just to see what the interest level is and see who's available. Just some thoughts. There may be links to actual YouTube videos of operating this specific equipment he's talking about. That may give people an idea if they're getting in over their head or if they really have an interest. You know, you could start it out just as who would be interested, and that way you're not jumping in to training and all that right away, because then you could kind of sort out who's interested. And also, as far as the training, I agree. Larry could just pick some people he feels like probably would be good at doing it, and then have the other people just as observers, you know, just to kind of keep control of the whole process. That's all I got.
Well, I think everybody's input is valuable. This is the first, I mean, we're just discussing this kind of for the first time today. I think I think we as a board need to discuss a little bit further and take into account the input we've got. And I don't anticipate this is going to happen next week. So I think we take it one step at a time and provide information to the membership as we move forward so that they can participate if they desire. But we haven't talked about how to provide notices or what kind of documentation we want. I think we need to kind of iron that out as we move forward before we jump into it directly. So that would be my 2 cents worth.
This is Lori. I hope that you can hear me. I'm trying to speak louder. The other thought is that you might want to share that your reason for doing this is for the people to actually help with work around the ranch. So it's not like, hey, anybody would ever want to learn how to use a backhoe, sign up and we'll show you just because it's cool. But that's not why you're doing it. You're doing it so that the equipment can be used to help. I think it would be really tough to put parameters saying that if you've spent time learning, you also owe the ranch back a certain amount of time. But just keeping that clear that the reason we're doing this isn't to train people so that they can say, oh, I know how to use a backhoe. You're teaching them so that they can help carry some of the load. So that's it.
Good point. Any other member comments?
Anything on this subject? Any other member comments?
Hey, Brent, this is Mike. I know you haven't been at the ranch for last couple of weeks. Do we have any updates on the fire engine or what the plans are for getting it out to the ranch?
Just waiting on the weather, Mike.
Okay.
I have yet to, you know, of course, I've been kind of disabled here, but I'm back to normal. And before anybody says anything, I am the normal by which everyone is measured. So back to normal. And so I'm going to stop by, and Larry wanted me to go over all the we got a bunch of equipment with it. And it's a bunch of stuff that we're probably not going to need. So I was going to go do an inventory on it, and then we can decide what we want to remove and whatever. But as soon as the weather is good enough, we can get it out here. I'm anticipating by the end of the month.
If you need help with doing any of that inventory, or if you need transportation out or back or whatever, I'm happy to help.
All right, great. Thanks.
Is that
currently
sorry, say again.
Is that the fire truck that was sitting down on old 89?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Currently, the batteries in the engine are dead. They had to jump start it when I picked it up in Provo, and I drove it down here, and I started it the following week because I initially parked it here outside my house when I pulled into town in the dark that night. The next week, I started it and drove it to the current location at my storage yard, and I have not moved it since. When I tried last week to move it, because it kind of blocks the view pulling in and out of my yard, and I thought I'd prefer it to be on the other side, the batteries were dead. And to get to the battery compartment, I have to move all of the gear that's stacked in the cab. And so any time, Brent, that you have time or want to start doing the inventory, I didn't want to unload the entire truck just out onto the ground to get to the batteries, to charge the batteries so I could move the engine. But that's what needs to happen, so I can pull the batteries out and charge them. So I am anxious to do that inventory as soon as possible.
Okay, I can do it. Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. I actually have an appointment in town on Wednesday morning, so I could easily do it on Wednesday.
I will be in Salt Lake at Immigration's Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, and so I mean, you could certainly the back door on the driver's side. It's a four door cab, as you know, but to explain right. to everybody else, the back door on the driver's side has a lot of respirators and backpacks and gear and everything piled in there. And at the bottom of that is the battery compartment. If you okay. can, if you can stop by and start going through an inventory and see, and then maybe we, I don't know if we stack it somewhere else, or I could possibly create a spot. I really feel like a lot of that equipment is stuff that we have no business transporting to the ranch just to be in the way and store. It's not stuff we're going to use. And I'm trying to encourage all of us as board members and as members to stop hoarding useless stuff at the ranch, because it just becomes more and more clutter, more and more places for pack rats to build nests and for peacocks to poop on. So I'm in favor of not moving firefighting equipment to the ranch that's of no use to the ranch.
Okay. What's your schedule Monday?
I will be here in town Monday, probably at least half the day. I've got a shipment of stuff coming in that I have to unload.
Okay. Well, I can come in on Monday morning. And if you want to, and I'll just, we'll work out a schedule on it, but I can come in Monday morning and we can get that stuff taken care of. We can get it all, we can make a definitive decision on what we can use and what we can't use at the ranch, and we can remove whatever we can't use
okay.
right then and there.
Hey, Brent, Larry, I volunteer. You know, I've got a big shed, and I've also got a garage. So if you want to take it out, stuff that's not going to the ranch, we can just put it in my shed or in my garage here in Kanab until we're ready to sell it or donate it or whatever we decide to do with it. I've got space so we can keep that stuff.
Okay, that's great, Mike.
Let's meet Monday morning, and we'll make a decision and see if we can't get some of that equipment into the hands of somebody that it can benefit. And if it makes a dollar or two, maybe we'll pay for that expensive fire truck.
All right, Larry. Well,
Larry, this is Dan.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you're going to Salt Lake City for an immigration issue. And my question is, are you going for a green card or a gold card?
I want the premium card.
The gold card. You know, yeah. isn't that 5 million or 10 million?
I want the one that pays me without working. I don't want the work permit green card. I want to sit at home and get paid.
Okay.
All right, Larry. I'll email you with. I'll email you. We'll work out a time for Monday.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
All right. Cool.
This is Steve again. I didn't know if you guys needed any help down there. I'm pretty close by, so if you need any help, just let me know.
What we just need to do now is just inventory it. I don't want to okay. get a bunch of people there and we don't need anybody. We just got to pull. Yep. We'll just see what we have. We'll pull it off the stuff we don't have, we don't need, and then we'll like Larry said, we can use Mike to store it. And then we can advertise it on Facebook Marketplace, KSL, eBay.
Yeah.
I once sold a fire truck on eBay, believe it or not. And so it can be done. But thanks for the offer. We just need to get to the batteries.
Yes.
All right. If you need any more muscle, let me know.
Okay. All right, any other member comments, suggestions?
If not, it looks like our next meeting would be scheduled for April 12th. And I don't remember when Easter is or any of that kind of stuff, so somebody will have to check me.
Yeah, next meeting is April 12th. And we'll plan on it at the ranch.
Easter's not till the 20th. It's very late this year.
Perfect, okay.
And so, anyway, there's no more comments. I want to make the motion we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Thanks, everybody, for attending.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
Okay.